This is District Sentinel Radio, now a subsidiary of the Scaramucci Post. I'm Sam Sachs.
I'm Sam Knight.
We are broadcasting out of the Sentinel Fort in Washington, D.C. Check out the website, districtsentinel.com. Thank you to the Mooch for giving us this opportunity to join his budding new publication, Scaramucci Post. We'll have more details about this for our listeners later on in the week or never.
I noticed that Scaramucci blocked Michael J. Hudson, a.k.a. Eminem Obama.
Do you know why?
I don't. I didn't have time to investigate. I was hoping you might.
I didn't catch that bit of Twitter beef.
Well, you're...
Hopefully someone did. I'm sure one of our listeners did. Call us, 202-684-6108. Let us know why.
Please.
It's haiku week. We've got a couple haikus to read today. I guess we should just jump right in, right? This is for Tyler. The world changes fast. Trump is president. Oh, wow. And Shanley's now good.
Thank you, Tyler.
Yes, thank you, Tyler.
This is for Brad. Mountains reach the sky. The river carves the valley. Balls store pee. Send tweet.
Thank you, Brad. This one is for Mark. The dog goes bark, Mark. But not Harper, who is good. She is never rude.
Thank you, Mark. This is for Chaz. Arise like lions to reach the breadcrumbs you need to make good tendies.
Thank you, Chaz. And thanks to all our new subscribers this week for Haiku Week. Be sure to check out patreon.com/districtsentinel. Sign up to be a subscriber, and you too will get a personalized haiku read on the air.
Also, my favorite type of crumbs to use in tendy making are panko.
Really?
Breadcrumbs. Please call the rant line and let me know if you prefer other types of breadcrumbs.
Also, now's a good time to subscribe because the garbage can nominations are open. Submit who you think was the biggest shithead of the week. And maybe they'll make the vote on Thursday, and maybe they just might win the whole dang thing and get thrown in the garbage can. So check it out, patreon.com/districtsentinel. It's Wednesday, September 27th, 2017. Here's the news. President Trump spoke to reporters today, and where to begin here? I guess we could start with Puerto Rico. Trump was asked why he doesn't lift the Jones Act. This is a law that requires shipping in between U.S. ports to be conducted by U.S.-made ships owned by Americans, and or they face a huge tax and tariff. Now, this would greatly ease relief efforts. The Jones Act was lifted in Florida and in Texas following the hurricanes that hit there. Not yet in Puerto Rico.
On Puerto Rico, Mr. President, why not lift the Jones Act like you did in Texas and Florida?
Well, we're thinking about that, but we have a lot of shippers and a lot of people and a lot of people that work in the shipping industry that don't want the Jones Act lifted.
Rarely is it ever spoken so bluntly. Yes, there's a humanitarian crisis. Yes, people are dying, but there's shipping barons who don't want us to lift this dang thing.
Indeed, he has a worm in his brain and spiders in his heart.
That noise behind him is the helicopter. He just on his way to going to Indiana to tout his tax policy, which we'll talk about in just a second. He stopped and talked to reporters for like 15 minutes. He also talked about health care. You know, Graham Cassidy dead. It's been pulled. Here was Trump explaining exactly why that was, claiming that they had the votes all along.
We have the votes for health care. We have one senator that's in the hospital. He can't vote because he's in the hospital. He can't vote because he's in the hospital. We have two other votes that are coming, and we will have them. But the problem is we can't have them by Friday because the reconciliation ends on Friday. So we'll have to do it in January or February.
Just pulling the Thad Cochran in the hospital thing out of nowhere. First, he didn't mention the senators in the hospital. Normally, you'll name them and wish them best wishes. Instead, he's just like, yeah, we got some guy who's in the hospital. Otherwise, we had the votes. This thing was totally down. Even though he didn't have the votes, three Republicans came out opposed to it. So that's why it was pulled. Trump trying to save some sort of face, I suppose. Then the issue of Tom Price, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, was brought up, and Tom Price's exorbitant private jet use, including flying fairly short distances for $18,000 just to have lunch with his son and also schedule a little meet and greet part of business, too.
Took a private jet from D.C. to Philly. That's inexcusable.
And Trump himself might actually think it's inexcusable.
I was looking into it, and I will look into it, and I will tell you personally, I'm not happy about it. I am not happy about it. I'm going
to
look at it. I am not happy about it, and I let him know it.
The positive thing about having so many cretins in an administration like Trump's and a guy who likes to fire people like Trump is that some of these people are going to lose their ass, and Tom Price might be one of them.
Yeah, I was going to say the good thing about him being the reality TV president is he has everyone in his cabinet basically on the edge of their seat, and every week is basically an episode of The Apprentice for them.
Yeah, I mean, there's no accountability. All these guys are doing whatever they want. We talk about the EPA, Scott Pruitt's just taking a huge part of the workforce to devote to his private security, essentially. You've got Tom Price flying around on these private jets. You got Mnuchin, who is trying to get on jets. All these guys are just doing
DeVos
whatever.
As well.
Yeah, they're just doing whatever the hell they want. Trump doesn't even know. But as soon as it's brought up and the media makes us think of it, Trump is susceptible to that sort of criticism and just doesn't give a shit about any of these people and would fire him in a second, especially Tom Price. I don't think there's any sort of prior relationship between a Southern, like, Tea Party congressman like Tom Price and Donald Trump.
Although I have to say, based on the outline of the tax reform proposal, which you're about to get to, doesn't look like Mnuchin is falling out of favor anytime soon.
Yeah, that proposal, a big hand job for rich people, cuts the top income tax rate down from 39 to 35%, which is pretty much what the Bush tax cuts did for rich people, cuts the corporate tax rate to 20% from 35%, which almost nobody, no corporation
pays. No one pays. The effective rate is below 20%.
And here's a really good one. Gets rid of the estate tax altogether. The estate tax, pretty much a tax exclusively paid by wealthy, very wealthy people. All those are eliminated. Now, looking at that, it sort of defies a promise Trump made a few weeks ago when he's like, we might have to raise the top income tax rate. Rich people are not getting a tax break. Well, these are huge tax breaks for rich people, but Trump doesn't think so still.
President, on tax reform, does your plan help the wealthy too much? There's criticism that
my
you
plan
a tax break.
Is for the working people, and my plan is for jobs.
So you wouldn't benefit under your tax plan?
No, I don't benefit. I don't benefit.
Don't
in fact,
people benefit?
In fact, very, very strongly, as you see, there's no, there's, I think there's very little benefit for people of wealth.
State
tax is one of the things, and that's, if you look at it, for farmers and people with small business.
I like how he starts
farmers
off and says...
Farmers and people with small business.
And if you listen to that clip again, he says, rich people are... There's nothing... And then he stops himself. He's like, very little that they benefit from because it's so obvious.
It is. It is. Chuck Schumer came out swinging. He pointed out that this would raise a lot of rates on lower income people. He also... He came out hard after dynamic scoring and called it fake math.
It is.
Imagine a food prep facility with rainwater coming through the roof and the presence of a life-threatening bacteria.
I can imagine a radio studio like that.
Well, Had that radio studio also been involved in food preparation?
Thursday night meatloaf.
Just as long as none of our Patreon subscribers get a hold of that meatloaf, we don't give it away as part of...
All right, I've screwed up your whole analogy here, but we're talking about the FDA and inspectors, right?
Indeed. Indeed we are. So the FDA did find a food prep facility with rainwater coming through the roof and a life-threatening bacteria on the premises, and then they did fucking nothing. And that's according to an Inspector General report published today covering agency operations between 2011 and 2015. The facility, the soggy, diseased facility, was just one in five of the 766 spots that failed a follow-up inspection, and 75% of these had the exact same problems that had been discovered in the initial visit. Now, the bigger picture, according to the report, is that there are zero consequences whatsoever for not correcting violations found by FDA inspectors. 73% of screw-ups are met with voluntary, quote-unquote, advisory actions, while another 22% of unsanitary businesses face zero action whatsoever. FDA, I mean, like, come on, y'all. You have one fucking job. Well, actually, you have two jobs. But food and drugs, these are two very important things.
Administering food and administering drugs.
When the food and drug administrators do take it, when the FDA does take action, it sits on its hands. About half of businesses are notified of their inspection failure within 4 months. And that's the agency's own self-imposed deadline. It can't meet it half the time. That potentially allows a lot of tainted food to fly off the shelves and into the country's tum. The report noted, by the way, that foodborne illnesses kill 3,000 people in the U.S. every year. That's a 9/11 in our food supply.
That's a 9/11.
And we said we'd never forget. Anyway, this week's report comes months after the Government Accountability Office called on the White House to develop a national food safety strategy. The FDA inspects everything but meat, poultry, and egg-based products. That's the Department of Agriculture's purview. 16 federal agencies and 3,000 non-federal government agencies oversee food safety across the country.
Ever since Trump ended DACA, there's been growing fear that information Dreamers handed over to immigration officials under the program will now be used by Trump's deportation forces. The acting Secretary of Homeland Security, Elaine Duke, on Wednesday, didn't put any of those fears to rest. Here she was before the Homeland Security Committee under questioning from Senator Kamala Harris.
These young people are terrified. They are terrified. They were told by your agency that if they submitted this comprehensive information about their background and their status to apply for DACA, that that information would not be shared with ICE. I've asked you, I asked the former secretary, are you willing to keep America's promise to these young people and not share their information with ICE? Can you answer that question finally? It has not been answered the many times I've asked.
I think I can't unequivocally promise that, no, but I do know.
So we will not keep our promise to these children and these young people.
I'm not familiar with the promise that was made to these children.
I'm not familiar with the promise. That's funny. I'm familiar with it. I don't fucking work at DHS. I don't lead DHS. But a privacy assessment of the DACA program in 2012 by DHS promised, quote, information provided in this request is protected from disclosure to ICE and Customs and Border Protection for the purpose of immigration enforcement proceedings. Pretty black and white. Unfortunately, this isn't law. It's an executive order, which can be rescinded or modified or whatever. And that's exactly what Trump is doing. The Electronic Privacy Information Center, a digital rights group here and privacy group in Washington, D.C., however, did state in a press release last week that sharing Dreamers' data with ICE or other law enforcement agencies may violate the Privacy Act.
In addition to a hurricane season exacerbated by human activity, America is also suffering from a wildfire season exacerbated by human activity. This year, the U.S. Forest Service has already spent $2 billion fighting wildfires. That's a record. And when that news was reported 2 weeks ago, there were 64 fires ablaze in 10 states, including 21 in Montana and 18 in Oregon. A hotter planet means the West is more flammable. But as always, Republicans are saying that the answer to this is to cut down as many trees as possible. Here's Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley talking about a bill peddled by South Dakota's John Thune.
I did notice that that's exactly what is in Senate Bill 1731, full permission to take out the old growth and the fire-resistant trees.
It's impossible to have forest fires if there aren't any trees, fam.
That's got a point.
Also, fuck John Thune for having the hardest name to pronounce.
That's the show. Actually, let's check out the listener rant line before we go.
Hi, Sam. Hi, Sam. It's your buddy, Source Authority. Hey, I heard it was haiku week, so I thought I'd hit you with a real quick haiku. All the king's horses, that's what it would take, and yet Eli's yoke still spills. Thanks, boys. Love you. Have a great week.
Very good.
That was good. That was a great haiku, George. Appreciate it. Maybe we'll come up with one for George tomorrow.
I think we should.
In return. That is the show. Listeners, call the rant line 202-684-6108. Thank you to our sponsors, Chris Simpson, the Congressional Dish podcast hosted by Jen Briney at congressionaldish.com and levelnews.org. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or tune in by searching for District Sentinel Radio. Give us a review. Tell your friends to listen. We're back tomorrow. We're in D.C., so you don't have to be.